Hello, church. It's good to be home. I've been away for 2.5 years, and I just want to thank Pastor Daniel and thank Church of Our Savior, especially, and many dear friends in Singapore for your support and encouragement, especially in the last 2.5 years. I was kind of stuck in Thailand. And I want to say thank you very much for all your support. Whatever you've seen on the video was really something that could not have happened without all your love and encouragement. And I want to say hello also to my husband. He's watching on live stream. You don't realize, actually, I attend the service almost every Sunday. All right. So please keep the live stream going. And I want to just thank God for his faithfulness as we follow him. Pastor Daniel have asked me to share about hearing from God and discerning his will and his call. And I want to encourage all of us and to tell all of us that actually the safest place in the world is not Singapore. It's in the center of his will. I love Singapore, but you know, the safest place in the world is in the center of his will. We are all created to hear his voice. God created everything with his voice. He said in Genesis 1, let there be light, let there be a firmament, let there be waters under the heaven, let the earth bring forth, let us make man. And God spoke and things came into being. So even as his children, as his sheep, as we listen to his voice, things happen. So let's learn today, and I pray that we will really tune in to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Let's just quieten our hearts for a moment. Father, I pray that you will lead us today, Lord. Speak to us. Help us, God, to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. The challenge today that we have these days is the digital world around us. How do you hear God's voice in the digital world? Right, you see that kid up there with his ears all plugged. And I think it's not just the kids. Most of us, all right, we tell our children we are working. But a lot of time we are so distracted. We have been distracted by this little device here. It's very helpful, but at the same time, it distracts us very often from hearing God. I advise families especially to create device-free time. You know, maybe tell your children, everybody, handphones in this little basket here. Okay, as we eat our meals, device-free. Or maybe before you go to bed, science has they tell us, actually, there's something called blue light, all right? And it disturbs your sleep. So actually, if you want to have good sleep, you want your children to sleep well, 1 to 2 hours before bedtime, device-free. Time that the family connects, pray together, and then go to bed, read your scripture, you know, be in tune with what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because if we are not intentional about the way we use this device, it actually will take over our life. And I think many of us have been taken over. So let's pray and learn how to be still so that we can listen in to one another and to God as well. And because of this gadget and other things as well, our brains become very cluttered with lots of stuff, and we are distracted. And so often, that's why we cannot actually hear God. And neuroscience has actually discovered that we can change the programming and the chemistry of our brain. Right? I was so sad. I didn't know about this. I was told from childhood, you know, you are like that. You're a crybaby, or you're always sad. So yeah, you're like that. All right, but thank God, when I was about 40 years old, I discovered that, oh, life was not supposed to be like that. So I discovered that you can actually detox your brain. You can change things in your brain. And if you keep thinking, if you try to get rid of a toxic thought for about 21 days with a new thought, after 21 days, that new thought becomes a habit. And if you do it for 3 rounds of 21 days, 63 days, that new thought becomes automatic. It just pops into your mind, and it becomes a lifestyle. So I pray that today, as we learn how to hear God. The reason I'm talking about this is because if we don't deal with those negative thoughts, all of God's voices usually get pushed away, all right? And 2 Corinthians 10:3 tells us, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapon we fight are not with the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine powers, divine power to demolish strongholds." Paul did not study neuroscience, right? But God revealed to Paul about the spiritual warfare of our mind. And we cannot afford to live as natural man. Very often when we have these warfare, our natural man will rise up. But God has given us divine powers to pull down these strongholds. And in verse 5, it says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." A thought that I've had for many years while in Thailand, because I've been there for more than 30 years, is every time I come up with a big project, like buying a piece of land or building a building, this thought will come: this is too big. I cannot do it. So I decided to go on a brain detox program, the one I just mentioned to you all, and decided that I will deal with this toxic thought: this is too big. I cannot do it, for the first 21 days. And on the 8th day, the Holy Spirit said to me, "Dorothy, who said you are going to do it? I'm going to do it." And then it dawned upon me that while I thought I was trusting God, I say I trust God, actually, I was thinking that it's still my job to do things. This is too big, I can't do it. And I had to really confess my sin and ask God, "Please forgive me. Yes, I'm not going to do it. This is too big for me to do, but you are going to do it." And as I continued the brain detox, right, on the 21st day, I could say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And after 3 rounds of that, these days, this thought that it's too big, I cannot do it, doesn't come back again. But instead, that fear that things are too big is gone. Because I know I have a big God. A God is bigger than all the projects that the world can ever think of. And in John chapter 10, the Jews, you're talking about the Jews then surrounded him and began saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me." And reading on to verse 26, "But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. You are not of my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands." I believe the Pharisees were not intentional in rejecting Jesus. They were hungry, waiting for the will, you know, like waiting for the will of God, waiting for the Messiah. And yet at the same time, when the Messiah stood right in front of them, they said, "No, you're not the one." Why? Because they had their own interpretation of how things should be done. And so often we do not hear God because we are functioning out of our natural man, deciding how God should be speaking to us. And this brings me to this little picture I want you to focus on. It says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Take a good look at this picture. The shepherd with a sheep in his hand and the other sheep following. Knowing the shepherd is not a formula that we follow. Many of us have been taught so many ways to know the will of God, all right, to read your scripture, to pray, and, you know, to listen to the counsel of others, dreams and visions, and so forth. And so often when we hear these things, we struggle with them because our natural man finds it so hard to receive, all right? So I want you to watch a little video. We'll play it once this time for a short stage of time to show that it is true that the sheep will only respond to the voice of a shepherd. So look carefully at the reaction of the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I wonder how those sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd. I believe they heard that voice every day. And after a while, they know, those are strangers. This is the voice of my shepherd. Right? So I want to share with you another verse, a verse that has been very close to my heart. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to distinguish between good and evil." This was in the early days, in the early 70s. I was a teenager then, all right? There was a spiritual renewal in Singapore, and I was so hungry. Every day, whenever there's a meeting, I will be there. All right, and I know how to take shorthand. Nowadays, nobody does shorthand, right? But I do shorthand, you know. And I'll take down every point, and I'll go to school the next day and share with my prayer meeting. We meet in school at 6:30 in the morning to pray, all right? And I remember the speaker sharing this verse, because I always thought initially that when you say a young Christian drink milk, I thought the milk is like, you know, all those basic Bible studies that you do, how to pray, how to read the Bible and things like that. And then solid food is when you go to theological college and you study theology, and that's solid food. But as you look at the scripture, it actually says solid food is when you learn, you practice your spiritual senses and learn how to discern between good and evil. Just as we have physical senses, we have spiritual senses as well. And, you know, like the way we can taste food and all that. I go to Thailand and I eat Singapore kind of durian, you know, soft, mushy, bittersweet. But the Thai people will eat crunchy, big, golden pillow. All right, so I always get the cheap version, because when they say, "I want the soft and mushy one," they'll take from under the table and say, "This one, 40 baht." You know, because... again, it's because my senses are trained. Up to today, I will still choose to eat the Singaporean kind of durian because my sense, my taste have been trained. So I want to share with us today my story, because basically I realized that it's not that we do not hear God's voice. Most of us, all of us, can hear God's voice. But we just cannot recognize His voice. And amidst all the other distractions, we are confused. So we have all these internal debates. And I want to share with you how the Lord called me when I was 17, as I was going to, you know, my early prayer meetings. There was a revival going on in Singapore. In most schools, young people would be gathering to pray. And every morning as I was walking to my school, the moon would still be up. It's about 6:30 in the morning. And I had this impression. It's not even a voice. It's an impression that comes from God and say, "I will bring you and I want you to go and help the poor." That wasn't my heart's intention. But morning after morning, I will hear this voice telling me. I have told my father that I will be a good girl, study, and go to the university and be study accountancy, because my father was a rubber businessman. So it was not my idea to go and help the poor. But it came again and again. I was very troubled by it. I prayed to God for signs, and all the signs happened, was fulfilled. And so I was still not budging, all right? And then something happened. My uncle passed away. He died very suddenly. He had bone cancer. And I felt very guilty, because even though I was just a four-year-old Christian, I have never shared with my uncle about Christ. My uncle lived in Malaysia. I only see him maybe once or twice a year, but I had never shared with him about Jesus. And 2 weeks after that, my grandfather passed away. My grandfather had had a stroke, but he was recovering and he was just drinking water and he choked and he passed away. I remember making my way back to Malaysia, my family, and I was crying because I just kept remembering all these verses that come to my mind, you know. I have not shared the gospel with my grandfather. Where's my grandfather now? You know, and as I was at the funeral, I saw dark shadows mingling among the people. And there were people also, you know, asking for numbers at the coffin. And I saw a hand picking out numbers. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, Dorothy, look at the devotion of these people. They would give their life for what they believe in. How come you say you believe in the living God and you would not give your life to me? I was really broken. And there were many other incidents that happened, but eventually I picked up the courage to tell my father that that was just before the A-levels. I told my father, just in case I just had to prepare him, that after my A-level, I have decided I will not go to university. And I said, because in my very childlike mind, I thought, well, if I wanted to be an accountant, I would go and study accountancy. So if God has wanted me to be a missionary, then what's the whole point of studying accountancy? So I thought, I will go study Bible. So my father was very upset. I remember he called a meeting of all the relatives, all the auntie, uncles. And before them, it was a very official meeting. He told them, he said, you know, this daughter of mine, I've raised her for 18 years. And she had only known God, this God of hers in heaven for 4 years. And now she will not listen to me. She wants to listen to her heavenly Father in heaven. So from now on, I will not support her. She can take care of herself. You know, I have a very loving father. I have a very good relationship with my father. And I remember I was crying. I said, Daddy, I love you. I love everyone and I want to obey you. But I know I have to obey my Father in heaven. It was a very difficult time. My brothers and sisters were also upset with me. They called me the black sheep of the family because they always say they thought that I was my father's pet. And now see what you've done to Father. I broke my earthly father's heart. And with that, I still went on to finish my A-level and everything. Thank God for good friends who gave me their pocket money, helped me out of their pocket money. I finished my education. And then I went to Bible school. And I want to tell you that the reason I'm telling you this story is not that because, oh, I was this obedient girl and it happened. But it wasn't. There was always this internal struggle. And I remember going to Bible school. One of my seniors who had just graduated came to see me and said, Dorothy, you're making a mistake. You know, you qualify for university. Go to university. Don't study Bible college. I regretted doing it. And now I've gone back to the university. So I was confused. And then here were my family. That's my family who's upset with me. Now my classmates telling me this is not the right decision. And then we had A-level, you know, we have left and we had a reunion. And all my friends, those who have gone to university, has gone to university, the rest have got jobs. And they were all so happy and sharing. I remember that evening as I walked back to my Bible college dormitory. I was so confused. I said, God, am I doing the right thing? My parents are upset with me. My classmate is telling me not to study. My friends are doing so well. I was on the verge of deciding, no, let's go back and do what Daddy said, my earthly father said. But deep, deep down in my spirit, I knew that I did hear God correctly. All right? So I'm sharing with you this because that was like almost 50 years ago, right? This month I turned 67. And I want to tell you that it's not an easy journey, but if you decide to follow Jesus, He will take care of you. He's very patient. I've made lots of mistakes, All right, but he again and again he will show up for me. And I want to share with you this very quickly, the few verses here, because it actually brings to a head of why so often we cannot hear God's voice, or we think we cannot hear God's voice. It says here in 1 Corinthians 2, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among people knows the thoughts of a person except the spirit of the person that is in him? So also the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." The next verse 12, "And now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. We also speak these things, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." And finally, verse 14, "But a natural person does not accept the things of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discern. God has made us soul, body, soul, and spirit, but actually the scripture will say spirit, soul, and body. And we need to nurture our spirit man to respond to the voice of the living God. Because once we don't sort this out, this is where we always try, we get messed up. We treat spiritual things in natural ways and then wonder why God didn't, how you never keep your promise, okay? And looking at the next slide, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." This is a very comforting verse to me, all right? I really believe that when our hearts are completely his, when we align our heart to his heart, you know, the Lord is looking out for us. He's watching out for us. And he will so strongly support us. So allow, take away all the fears, all the stuff that always prevent us from following through on what God wants to teach us. And Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Right? I just came back to Singapore. You know, all the good food. That's why I used that picture up there. All right? All of you got lunch, right? Pastor Daniel told me I'm racing against lunchtime because everybody's got lunch planned, okay? But why? We plan lunch. Usually you plan your lunch with me yesterday or even the week before, the friends you want to eat with, because we enjoy food. And food has always been linked, actually very often, with doing the will of God. Why? Because we eat food every day. We eat food 3 times a day, minimum. In Singapore, maybe 5 times, you know? But if we are hungry to do God's will, as much as we are hungry for food, how many of you enjoy good food in Singapore? Right? All of us enjoy good food. So if we enjoy doing God's will, actually, if we enjoy doing God's will as much as we enjoy food, wow, that'd be fantastic. So I pray that every day now, as you think about food, please think about God's will too, all right? Food is a necessity for survival, and doing God's will is also a necessity for our welfare and for our survival spiritually. I want to share with you a story as I see the next slide. It says, "Obedience attracts God's presence." Obedience is actually God's love language. Children who love their parents, sometimes you say, "Oh, I love my parents, but I find it so hard to obey them." Actually, if you love your parents, it's easy to obey, all right? So obedience attracts God's presence. And in John 14, 15 to 16, it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so that he may be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he remains with you and will be in you." I want to share with you a story of how my obedience was really tested, all right? But at the same time, because of obedience, God showed up. So this is a story about how many years ago, actually many years ago, I pioneered a childcare in Thailand. And I was very happy doing it. So when it first started, everything went well. And I think the first, we started with 48 children, now I remember, okay. And the first year we did well and everything went fine. And so they decided, okay, Dorothy, you don't have to take care of the finances. Somebody else will take care of finances. Just run the operation. I was very happy with it. However, after a while, I thought something was not doing very well. And I was a bit concerned of how the finances were going. This is actually about a story of how we got embezzled, all right? One day, as I was walking past the principal's office, she's a new principal that I had put in place, the Holy Spirit said to me, not in an audible voice, but just an impression, and the Holy Spirit said to me, this woman is going to harm you. I was very taken aback by that. And I was on the way out to the airport to go somewhere else. So I actually told one of a missionary friend that, would you just take the receipts of all, you know, when we collect school fees from the children, compare it against the bank book. Something that I should have done much earlier, but since it was not my business to control the finance, we did not do it. So I said, well, please do that. And then I was on my way. And that night, in that new city where I had landed, I had a dream. I dreamt that the whole church was flooded. The childcare is in the church. The whole church was flooded. All the furnitures were floating in the water. Everybody was wading in the water. But nobody knew it was flooded. It was a very strange dream. I called my late husband and told him that I think something is very wrong, but we are not aware of it. And the next thing, the missionary friend who had done her calculation, she called me and then she said, Dorothy, we have been embezzled of a very big sum of money. It was heartbreaking, and I felt terrible because it was all done under my watch. And as we were going through, and I was assigned then the job of finding out how it happened, right? And because of that, I had to talk to all my staff. This is a team that I had built right from day one. And as I heard their side of the story, I became more and more upset. How could you all have thought this way? How could you all have believed this? How could you all believe the lies that was spoken about me? You know, how could you all have thought it was okay to take a little bit of money? You know, things like that. I became very disappointed and I felt betrayed. But at the end of the day, I said, okay, let's pray and see what we should do about it. And the Holy Spirit impressed on my mind that we should tell all the parents. At that time, we had something like 189 kids in our childcare. And you say now we have to tell all the parents. And I told the Thai team and all, and they said to me, nobody does this in Thailand, okay? When you have an embezzlement, you messed up, you don't tell people, then they will lose confidence in you, you lose your credibility. But I said, I think this is the right way to go. So we did. I called a meeting of all the parents, and they all came, lined the teachers up, told them what happened, and we apologized Thai style for what we did wrong. And I promised them that if they give me another chance, I will run the childcare properly, and we will make it up to the children, all right? Even at the cost of no profit for the next few years. And at the end of it, a group of parents came to see me and they told me, say, Dorothy, they call me Ajahn Dorothy, which means Teacher Dorothy. He said, you know, actually before your meeting, many of us have met and we have already decided to take our children out of your school because we felt that something is not right, something is wrong. But because of what you have done, you know, and shared with us everything, we have all decided as well that we will not take our children out of your school, all right, and that we will stay on. And I really want to thank God for that because this childcare is still running and has started branches elsewhere in Thailand. That's the good part of that story. But then what happened was, a week after that was our teacher's retreat. And I was the speaker. I found it very hard. It was a 3 days retreat, three nights. And I was supposed to be the speaker. I just couldn't bring myself to speak. You know, there were just 30 teachers. But I was like, God, how am I going to talk to them? You know, and be real and be honest, because I was dealing with a lot of emotions, you know. And so the first day of the retreat, I actually told everybody, can you all just worship? Just worship. Just worship. I'm not going to preach. So they worshiped the whole day. And so that was the end of the first day. And next morning when I woke up, I said, God, what else do you want me to do at this retreat? And the only impression I have, the picture that I see, is a basin of water and towels. Like, God, basin of water, towel. I know what Jesus did, but God, are they supposed to wash my feet, or I wash their feet? You know, I was definitely not in the frame of mind to wash anybody's feet, all right? And in Thailand, the feet is the lowest part of your body. Okay, and I'm sharing it because of the struggle inside. You had this impression from God. And it doesn't seem, my natural self, my natural mind say, no, this is not happening. I'm not going to do it, all right? And you know, it took me how long to obey? So, whole day we worship again, right after the evening meeting. And I knew in my heart, the same picture. I thought it would go away. It didn't go away. It became stronger and stronger. So, anyway, I told my team, okay, basin of water, towels. And I told the teachers, God has given me this instruction, and I would like to wash your feet. All the teachers curled up their feet and said, no, you're not washing our feet. And I wasn't a very happy participant too. I said, please, because God tell me to do it, so will you all just let me wash your feet? So I started washing the feet of the head teacher. She's a very nice lady, all right? That's why I made her the head teacher. She was a very good teacher. So I started washing her feet. And I mean, in Singapore, we've done some feet washing before. So I knew what to do. I washed her feet. I prayed for her. She was crying. I was crying. You know, but as I washed, I said, God, what else? You know, so I kept washing. And then Holy Spirit said to me, Dorothy, kiss those feet. And I was like, what? Did I hear right? And yeah, it came back again. Kiss those feet. I thought to myself, God, I have never kissed anybody's feet. I never kissed my husband's feet. I never kissed my own feet. I've never kissed any feet before in my life. All right? So I washed for the longest time ever. I washed and I washed. I didn't know how to stop. I didn't dare to stop. But yet I didn't want to kiss those feet. So I washed and I washed. And eventually, I think the spirit man arose, all right? I kissed those feet. And the next thing I knew, this head teacher, she screamed, you know, there was a shriek that let out. She fell to the ground, and the demons manifested. She was wriggling on the floor like a snake. And the Lord did, nobody needed to pray for her. The Lord set her free, all right? And that evening, I washed 30 sets of feet and kissed 30 sets of feet. And God showed up. All right, not everybody had a demonic manifestation, but majority of them. All right, and God set the team free. It went out right into the late of the night, you know, and the Holy Spirit showed up. And I was just overwhelmed, all right? And by the next day, I knew in my heart, God has given me back my team. We were back together again. You know, whatever the locusts have eaten has been restored. And that was actually the strongest team that I ever had. God gave me back the team. But there were times I wondered, what happened if I didn't kiss those feet? And just say, God bless you, and go to another set of feet. I mean, these little things, this lesson has really taught me that, you know, following God's instruction is very, very important. All right? And I want to share with you the next slide that says, trust. We always say we trust God, but actually trust, our trust will always be tested in moments like this. See, a sheep does not tell the shepherd that it will only follow if it is sure where he is leading. The sheep trusts the shepherd 100%. All right? The sheep has a high dependency on the shepherd instead of low dependency. So let's learn to depend fully on our shepherd. The more you walk with him, the more you know you can trust him. It's not about my faith. It's about his faithfulness. And if he's faithful, how can I not trust him? And I'd like to share with you my three final slides, which is the heart of the shepherd. In Matthew, it says, we are all called to the nations. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority, not some authority, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Just now, there was this slide for long-term worker, right? For East Timor and Japan. I want to encourage most of you, all of you, you can. I know not everyone can go, but please respond. Some of you will say, I'll go anywhere except East Timor. I've been to East Timor, right? I went to, wow. And it's a very hard place. Do you know that when I, you know, now I'm in this place called Konkan, I actually said to God, God, I'll go anywhere except Konkan. Please tell me to go anywhere in Thailand except Konkan, okay? There's a reason for it, but I said, not Konkan. And then one night, I have a dream, the yellow banner, and the word is Konkan. So, don't tell God what you will not do. Tell God what you will do, all right? So, go to the nations. And I'd like to share the final slide. It says, ask it of me, and I will certainly give the nations as your inheritance. A lot of us want inheritance, but somehow we don't want the nations as our inheritance, all right? And it says, and the ends of the earth as your possession. God wants to give us the nations. I remember it was more than 30 years ago, here in Church of Our Savior, when the Anglican Church had a conference and the Reverend Michael Green was the speaker. And he said, you know, ask God, you know, to bless you. And whatever is your desire, come forward and I want to pray for you. I love altar calls. So whenever there's an altar call, I would say, yes, God, you know, and I'll come forward. As I was in line, I asked the Holy Spirit, what should I ask for? Because some people were asking for new jobs, new house, you know, a car, a wife or a husband, whatever. And the Lord said to me, ask me for the nations. I was a homemaker then, all right? My late husband was a pastor, but I was a homemaker with two young children. I somehow couldn't put it together, all right? How am I going to go to the nations? But as I told the speaker and he prayed for me, he had a kind of a surprised look, but he prayed for me that God would give me the nations. Now, it was not my intention. It was never my intention to want to go to the nations. I actually, you know what was my life ambition? I want to be a homemaker. I want to be like my mother, a housewife. Stay at home, take care of the kids, cook food, welcome your husband home. You know, such a nice life, all right? But the Lord had to confront me. The Lord confronted me and say, Dorothy, do you want to be the woman you want to be or the woman that I want you to be? And I had to say, yes, Lord. I will be the woman you want me to be. I will follow you. I will do whatever you want me to do. And God, if there's anything that people will not do and you think I can do, Lord, let me know. Because I want to follow my great shepherd. I want to follow my Father. And it's, you know, if you love your Father, you want to make your Father happy. And it's the same thing, all right? So I want to encourage us today that we will come and ask God for the nations. Actually, Psalm 2 verse 8 is a command. It's not, if you like it, you can ask me for the nations. We are designed as sons and daughters of the living God. And He is the Father of all the nations. And He wants to give the nations to us as our inheritance. Here in Singapore, the nations has even come to us. So not everybody needs to go to all the nations. But at the same time, this is why I give out a little bookmark that says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest field. If you go to the original text, it's actually the Lord of the harvest to thrust out laborers into the harvest field. Sometimes we're not very willing to go, and the Lord had to thrust us out into the harvest field. I pray that today we will hear God's prompting, all right? Singapore is so blessed, so, so blessed. And I remember as a teenager when the renewal was going on, there were prophecies that Singapore is the Antioch of Asia. In fact, just now as we were worshiping, I would like to request the team after Be Thou My Vision that we will sing Jesus Be the Center of It All again. Because I remember I heard a prophecy, and I remember it was in the church. And this speaker said this. He says, the year will come. He saw this vision and he said that Jesus was in the center of Singapore. Everybody was worshiping Jesus. And Jesus was in the center of Singapore. And he said there's only a trickle of people that went out to the nations. And then after a while, he said, Jesus was no longer in the center of Singapore. Today, as I sat there worshiping, I wondered, God, is that happening? God has blessed Singapore so much. Now, nobody wants to leave Singapore. No, everybody wants to stay in Singapore, all right? But if you truly want to follow Jesus, Jesus is going to the nations. And let's follow our great shepherd to the nations. I'd like to also sing this final song, Be Thou My Vision. This is a song I told my husband, he's watching online, that when I die, please include this song in the funeral service, all right? But in real life, let's really give our life to Jesus. Let's be willing to die for Him. As we sing, Be Thou My Vision, I want us all to remain seated. But if you really are willing and you are ready to recalibrate, you know, the world is resetting. We all know as a result of this, whether it's normal or new normal, whatever, the world is resetting. All of us need to reset, recalibrate for the shift that is coming ahead of us. And I pray that we will all recalibrate to hear the voice of our shepherd and we will follow Him. So if you are just ready to recalibrate, you don't know what God is going to say, but you are ready to reset, I invite you to stand, all right? To stand as we sing this song. But more than that, I believe that God has called many over the years to the nations. But somehow, one way or another, we have got stuck here, all right? And very often, sometimes we have very good reasons. But again, God, the Spirit of God is speaking to you again. Come, go with me to the nations. And I'm calling for people who are willing to say, God, I will go. Not just for a short mission trip, but I will go for long-term mission trips. I will go. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen and how to make it happen. You don't have to worry about all that. But just focus in on following the great shepherd. So let's sing the song, Be Thou My Vision. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. God is speaking to many of you.
By day or by night,
just respond to His voice. Let your spirit man arise to hear the voice of the living God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As the Holy Spirit speaks to you, even if you are the only one who comes forward, but actually God is saying there are many of you, you are ready and you want to go. You don't know how, but just come, follow the great shepherd. Come right up, as the team is here to pray for you, but most of all it's between you and God. It's between you and the great shepherd. You are ready to follow Him. Just come forward, come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Come as a family. Come as husband and wife. Come alone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Many are coming, God, and we are following you to the nations, God. Thank you, Jesus. And encourage everyone, to make your stand for Jesus. Yes, God, I may not be able to go out, but I will stand for you right here in Singapore. I will rise as the son and daughter of the living God. I will bless my nation through my obedience. I will hear your voice. I will listen to you. I will follow you. Thank you, Lord. I just feel the Holy Spirit saying to invite Pastor Daniel up here, you know, and let's sing the song, Jesus Be the Center. As a church, this is church of our Savior. As a church, let's really put Jesus at the center, right? As a church, let's commit truly to follow our Savior. And this is indeed Church of our Savior. Let's all arise and follow. And I just want to thank God for Pastor Daniel. And I know God has anointed him to be the leader here in this church. And I pray, Lord, that the Lord will just use him and bring us together truly as the body of Christ to fulfill his great commission. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I have this prompting from the Holy Spirit to ask Pastor Daniel to stand right in the center of the aisle and then to invite the members of Church of our Savior, you know, that we will all unite together around our leader and let the Holy Spirit have His way. He's the great shepherd, the great I am. So as we worship again, you know, this song, I just want to encourage those of you just to come out of the aisles. Put your hands on Pastor Daniel, loved him, pray for him, blessed him. And as a church, let's worship Jesus together. Pastor Daniel is not the center of it all, right? Jesus is the center, but he is the representative, all right? He's here to lead. The same way sometimes people say, why do I need to follow a leader? Well, Jesus, you know, Paul tells Timothy, right? Follow me. And we follow, we just go together. If we all fight amongst us, nothing will happen, right? But if we all unite, the power of unity, the world will know that Jesus has sent His Son because of our unity, because we love one another. All right, so let's sing this song again. And I invite everybody, come out of your aisles and bless Pastor Daniel and bless each other. All right, we don't have to be too formal about this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's come on, come around Pastor Daniel. Everyone, move out of your seats. Move out of your seats. Move out of your seats. And let's put your hand one on another. Put on the person in front of you. Let's all come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is the center of it all.
Of your church.
Yes, Lord. Bless your church, Lord.
Jesus, be the center of your church. Every knee will bow and every tongue shall
confess
you, Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus, be the center of this church.
Center of your church, Lord. Yes, Lord. May this be the church of our Savior. Thank you, Jesus.
Every tongue shall confess you.
Your sheep, and we want to hear your voice. Please train our senses as a church, as your disciples, to discern good and evil. Train us in your way. We choose to trust you and to follow you. Please direct our footstep and guide us as we submit ourselves to you, our great shepherd. And we pray, God, your blessing on Church of our Savior. May you truly, O God, be in the center of this church. Not just the local church, but the universal church, God. Bring us together, Lord, as the body of Christ for your kingdom's purpose. And God, we love you. We are your sheep. We want to follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Hand the time back to Pastor Daniel.
Okay, thank you. Now, before you go, Dorothy, we must pray for you also. How many of you have been blessed? Amen. There are some things that's worth being late to lunch for, right? And I've been so blessed by Dorothy's sharing and her authentic example and challenge for us. And I think we want to continue to bless her. And let's just join together, just pray for her. Lord, we thank you for Dorothy's obedience, Lord. Her obedience challenged us to be obedient to you. Father, I pray as you have always been with her. Lord, continue to be with her, supply her every need, even beyond what she can ask or imagine, Lord. Watch over her, watch over Mike. Lord, every work that she puts her hands to, because she does it in obedience to you, may you cause it to prosper, Lord. So bless Dorothy. Continue to use her mightily, even in these latter years. Lord, she talks about her mom being 90, Lord. We pray you strengthen the hands of Dorothy for this work that's going to be ahead. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Dorothy. Thank you. Thank you, all of you. You know, the Lord has been doing a lot of stuff in our church ever since that Pentecost prayer meeting, which many of you missed because you never come for a prayer meeting, right? But really, you should have been here last night at the youth meeting. Stuff is happening, right? So when you go from this place, don't just let it pass. Hold on tight to it. Pursue it. And I think God will lead us to an even better place. Amen. God bless all of you. I'll see you all back next week.